In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, the football season isn't over, but the accolades have begun rolling in. We've got the TAPS all district and all state list to decipher for you. D1, D2, D3, and D4, and you get to see the heinous punishment that has been forced upon me for losing the pick record. All this and more in the all state recap of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to the first off-season episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. I, as always, am one-fourth of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison, joining you from Dallas, Texas. Walker Locke calls in from Fort Worth, Texas. Ryan Schroeder from Orlando, Florida, and Waverly West from the Brazos Valley. I'm actually surprised I got all those right because two of us are in different locations than normal. Ryan had to remind me before we started recording that he's in Orlando, so I'll turn to you first. Ryan Schroeder, outside of, I guess, visiting Disney World, what's going on? Why are you in Orlando?
Yeah, no, me and Mickey have been hanging out for a little bit, but I let Mickey go for a little bit, told him I got TXBS to go on. He's like, all right, I'll let you go. But no, I'm here for the G League Showcase for the Blue, so it's fun, but nothing's more fun than TXBS Football Award. So I'm here, I'm ready to talk, let's go.
Yeah, Michael Mouse is no friend of mine, so don't give him any regards from me. Walker Lott, back in Fort Worth. How is being back home? More importantly, after pouring over the All District All State list, opening thoughts.
Yeah, man, it's doing good. Back in Fort Worth. You know, I got the different setup, but I think it's all right. And using Michael and Michael Mouse is he used the government name, and that threw me for a loop. But overall, All District, All State, pretty solid. I think honestly, might be the best they've done in a while. But I will say there are some like outlying like that's wrong in it. But and we'll get to that in a second. But overall, good thoughts, good times, and I'm excited for what's about to happen with you, Wes. I'm very excited.
Yeah. We'll get to that shortly, sadly. But before we do, Waverly West, I think this is the third consecutive episode that you've been on. Thank you for coming back and bestowing some Division IV knowledge upon us. How are things in the Brazos Valley? And your excitement level to talk about the D4 accolades.
Yeah, things are good over here. I'm done with school for this semester and have lots of free time, so might as well spend it talking about Texas private school football.
Absolutely. That
hey,
is two, what the
hey,
program
the two-time
was established.
State champ is now on the pod. The two-time state champ. Congratulations to the cheer team at Brazos Christian.
Absolutely. Waverly West has now won twice as many championships as anyone on the program. Actually, that's not even true because none of us ever even – well, no, Ryan, were you a member of the basketball team whenever Legacy won?
I'm going to claim my junior year one. I will definitely claim that. They let me sit on the bench, I think, in the playoffs, so –
Did you get a ring?
Okay, so yeah. So did you get a ring?
No, we're basically two ways, which is very ironic where I'm at right now. I was basically a two way. There you go. So no, I didn't get crap.
So technically my stat is right that Waverly has won twice as many state championships as anyone else on the program has. Congratulations again for the back-to-back cheer champions in TAPS. So, but speaking of champions, we have a lot of champions on this list that we're going to get to. I would just lead straight into it, but I feel like that would get some pushback as we do have to start with the vegetables for me, which briefly I will say, obviously, yes, I lost the pick record, albeit by like two games. I personally don't think the only person to ever go back-to-back with the pick record trophy should have to do the first ever punishment. For this, I don't think I can weasel my way out of it, but Waverly West actually designed the punishment for the pick record loser this year. Waverly, why don't you give us a brief description of what I'm about to be put through for hundreds of people to see?
Yeah, so last year, I think it was just Walker and Wes, but we involved Ryan in the bet just, you know, because bet that whoever lost the pick record would do a cheer routine choreographed by me. So put together just a little cheer, some motion, some good jumps, kicks, all the good things for Wes to perform for us.
Fantastic. Yeah, I've got the thankfully the brief script here. I think we had initially like you said it's going to be like 1 minute, and I'm like, absolutely not. Like, the longest I'm going is 30 seconds. So after some give and take, I have the script here. I come from a line of, prestige in the cheer world. My mom was an All-American cheerleader. She went and cheered at SMU and UNT. My sister was also very good. I didn't get any of those skills, athletically or cheer-wise, but yeah, without further ado, I guess I'm going to embarrass myself in front of several hundred people. And
Ooh.
hey, if this is bad, you can't blame me. You blame Waverly, the person who choreographed and authored the whole thing. So I just want that. I want
Don't
that
think
out
you can
there.
say that.
Give me, of
That's
course
pretty
I can. I'm
bizarre.
not the one that came up with it.
Give me some
Okay.
emotion, Wes. I need
Yeah,
like
here we go.
enthusiasm.
Energy up, energy up. I'm not going to
Indeed.
embarrass myself further than what this is already going to do. So what you see is what you get. I don't even, is my mic going to carry back there? Could y'all hear me earlier?
Yeah. Move it out of the way so it doesn't get focused on. Should let it focus on
Okay.
you.
Y'all can still hear me?
Yep.
Got it.
Okay. This is the first official TXPS cheer for the pick record loser. TXPS Ryan Walker and Wes. I placed last in picks, so I'm here doing kicks. Walker and Ryan, no more than me. Here's a flip for all to see. Oh, I can't, we can't put this out.
No, keep going. You got it.
I lost. I fear I won't next year. This has been the first EXPS cheer. Okay. I will
That
give
was
Waverly credit.
incredible.
I will give Waverly credit. She had a lot.
But at least you got the words right.
Yeah, no, she had a lot more intricate like motions and cheer stuff in there, and I kind of blanked out halfway through and just started clapping like an idiot. So that's, I'm glad that's over and we can move on from it now.
Okay, I would just like to say though, if you would have done it full energy, that may have been more embarrassing, but nothing will be more embarrassing than me wearing a cheer outfit on this podcast. I think you, I want you to realize right now, I was really hoping that it'd be a lot more energy so it could go bar for bar with that. I still hold the most embarrassing thing on this podcast when it
This is
comes
true.
to punishment wise. And Walker's never done a punishment on this podcast, so that's the other thing I'm gonna say too.
That is fair. We will have to come up with some. We will have to figure out a way between the two of us to make sure Walker loses next year. So
Nope.
he'll have to go through that. But thankfully, that's over. And
No,
now we can get
I think that
into.
was very good, Wes. If I had to rate it, as a, like a judge, I give it like a 7 out of 10. I think there's a lot of room for execution. And I'm being generous. I think that's like a honestly like a 4.
Yeah,
We
I was
got
going to say, genuinely, I think it's a four. I
I
think
think
it's
it's
a
a
four.
4. You had you finally you got the hand motions of the T and the X. After that, the hand motions kind of went sideways. So
Yeah, after that, it was kind of like flipping my hands back and forth, clapping. And then after the cartwheel, I was like, I don't remember anything else I was supposed to do. So, yeah, so that's all we're going to spend doing that. Although I know that's what everyone tuned in for. Now we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, which is the all district, all state list. We have, they all four came out within the last couple of weeks. We're going to spend some time and pore over them. Walker has gone and done the lion's share of the script for this episode. So what we're going to do, a little bit of a flip where Walker leads us into it, gives us the main topics that he pointed out from them, and then we're all going to provide commentary. But Walker, let's start with the top dogs in Division One and work our way down, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. Firstly, I really r like the first team offense, really. I think the offensive line is pretty dang good. I love the additions of Smith, Kozalski. We didn't talk about much about him this year, but he's a dude after watching the film. Chris Wyatt, of course, from San Antonio, and there's the new guy, Hunter Caldwell from Parrish, was very good. But of course, QB1, Sawyer Anderson gets the nod at the quarterback spot. The running backs, Chase Garnett, Will Estes, LJ Taylor, Mikey Moreno were probably the top four backs in D1, well deserved. And let's talk about the receivers. I love Bryson Fields at tight end. I didn't really know that after talking with you, Wes, but he really was their tight end most of the year. He moved inside, which I thought was really cool. Garrett Tyser is an interesting one. I think I like him as a first team athlete. It's kind of hard to really decide because that athlete's position, it depends on the division, but it's like usually it's like the quarterback that's more of a dual threat guy that we want to give him more recognition, but he was on a bad team that didn't make like a state final. You put him on there. So I think he deserves it. I like Carter Dever on second team, but let's talk about the receivers a little bit more before we move on to the other things. Number one, Jalen Pyle, easy. Number two, Carson Darby, easy. Hawkins, number three, easy. And Matthew McClain, number four, easy. Who I think last time I checked a couple weeks ago was the number one in Tapsy one on receiving yards. So he absolutely deserves it. And he was the fourth spot. Oh, let's preface this. Because of how this has worked, and a lot of people don't know how all district and all state works. So all districts, how it works is for most districts, everything's a little different, but majority of it is basically each coach comes to a table with their guys, right? And they all kind of put a guy in a hat in the ring and they're like, I think this guy deserves to be this spot. And the coaches are like, okay, I like that. And then you kind of go down the line, right? And so, in the alt state list, a guy cannot be ranked higher on a spot if there's a guy in alt district that's higher above him. So like 1, 2, 3, 4 means a lot. So even if you're number four, you might not make all state because number one, and other places already get in before you, if that makes sense. So it's a little bit weird, but preface that because it's always something that always comes up. But like, why does D1 get all these guys and the District 2 doesn't? Well, District 1's guys are insane, and you saw that in this one where all four of the Taps D1 District 1 guys get all state D1 as well. So the question I have for you guys is Pyle, Darby, Hawkins, McCain. You see on second team, right, that you have Quentin Brown on second team, a Boise State commit, one of the fastest guys in all TX second team. Do you think he deserves to get on that first team? Who gets off in that list as well? Like who? Like, I don't know.
I will preface this by saying it depends on if we're qualifying this strictly by statistics or by, eye tests and things like that. And obviously, it's going to be, statistics, I think, are the primary driver. I'm not in these meetings. I was going to say, I would love more than anything to be a fly on the wall for one of these all district, all states, just to see how they go. Maybe we can talk to Taps and figure that out one day. But all that being said, from a pure statistical standpoint, I mean, that's the list. I mean, that's what we got under there is who gets off for Quentin Brown and Brady Janiusek, not an all state receiver. And if we go to the stats, all those guys on that list are 1,000-yard receivers. Hawkins clocks in at like 1,010, 16 touchdowns. You go over to Quentin. Quentin's got 771 and 9. And then you look at Matthew McClain, just to shout out the season, he had almost 1,500 yards and 17 touchdowns for a guy that, we didn't have clocked as somebody we thought was going to be a top receiver in TXPS coming into the year. All that being said, I mean, I think obviously from a statistical standpoint and almost from a pure talent standpoint, it's hard for me to argue that. Ryan, I'm curious about your thoughts.
No, I'm not going to argue that either. I mean, those are the guys I would have chosen as well. I'm very happy for district and all state wise that they had no problem putting Pyle, Darby, and Bryson Fields at tight end. Like, I'm glad they were able to like recognize the amount of passing offense that Parrish had comparatively to every other school and realize that. What I was going to say to Walker's point too. I also like that they were able to notice that the North guys. Regardless of whatever, from an eye test perspective and maybe yards and stuff, like the North receivers looked better than the South receivers, and accordingly they were given the advantage over it in this list. So I think this was done right, in my opinion.
I definitely think so. Waverly, you had an opportunity to see, several of these guys, Pyle, Darby, and Hawkins all play live at the state championships. Any quick bullet point thoughts regarding this list and the talent within the all-state receivers?
Yeah, I mean, I think mostly, like y'all said, they got it right. Brady Janiusek not being on there was definitely a shock, especially, I don't know if this has any weight in it like it does for some other sports, but further you go in playoffs, the more weight you have. And especially him being a state champion, that's obviously something to consider. But yeah, receiving yard leaders in Division One are Darby, McClain, Pyle, and Fields, obviously, who got the tight end spot. So yeah, I think they did good and overall really good list. Sawyer Anderson at one is obviously the pick. You can't go anywhere other than that.
Yeah, definitely so. Before we leave, I will say regarding Brady Janiusek, if you watch Janiusek play, any number of snaps, you'll realize he's one of the top four talented receivers in the state. I mean, just that picture and that clip of the one-handed touchdown and all of the 50-50 balls that he turns into 90-10 balls. It's just that it's the name of the game. You know, they had so many talented receivers, they didn't need him to do as much on offense. If you put him on a different team, he's absolutely a first-team All-State receiver, but he played his role, and that's why he falls where he did. He'll get some recognition on other portions of this list, but Walker Lott, let us move along within TAPS Division One.
So looking through the other one, second team, I love that Quinn Murphy's there. He absolutely deserves it. He's had a great year. Carter Devereaux gets the first team athlete, which on a team like Nolan, who had a really rough year, I think absolutely deserves to be recognized as a second team athlete. He's a dude this year. Bennett Stein as well was a dude. Nate Tidwell, a guy like we talked about before the season, was going to be probably their best receiver at St. Thomas. He's gone. Or no, he's not gone, but he made the list at second team All-State, which I really like. Jalen Beckley, a guy that Ryan's going to be really excited about going into Oklahoma State next year, makes the list on TC Addison after a rough year for the Trojans, or Trojan, yeah, I think. So I think that's a good year, good for him. Best of luck in Stillwater next year. Jake Gislin, this lineman from St. Thomas, I love him. Shout out to Jaden Jones, the newcomer from Tomball Concordia Lutheran, making the list. I really liked when we and Waverly and I actually went and watched him earlier this season. I thought he was really good. He absolutely deserves that spot. And also, Amir Parks Brooks, who's probably after a rough year for St. Pius, probably one of the shining moments of that team, and is going to be a guy to watch out for the next year. I remember talking to our intern Jake Garcia, who had to cover him a couple times when they played St. Pius. He's like, dude, that kid's the real deal. He's fast as heck. So, bet good recognition. Honorable mention All State. I think it's really cool. Derek Stevenson makes the list. Ish Muhammad. I love that they gave Luke Lawrence love after a good year for him making the semifinals on the third team athlete. He absolutely deserves it. I love that break. Blake Brisker, and I told you this, Wes, after the first episode of the season. If he was on any other team with a guy not named Chase Garnett, he's an all-state running back, and he's the number one guy on that team. He's the number two guy on the Liberty, and he still made all-state. That's how good this kid is. Best of luck going forward. I like Tekashi Saw making the list. Let's talk about this, and we'll end all-state offense. Rogan Parson, the sophomore. Number one quarterback in the South this year, makes the list as a sophomore in honorable mention. Beats guys out like Luke Glass, Tanner Huckfeldt, other guys on in the North. So what a guy, what a sophomore. We've said I've raved all year about this kid, and he makes the list over some other talented dudes this year. This just amazing. I think he absolutely deserves to be recognized after a fantastic year in the South. I know in the playoffs, D2, the District 2 didn't show, but I think he absolutely is a dude and best of luck. And yeah, I think that's a great choice for that honorable mention spot.
Yeah, definitely so. And the reason he got that and the stats that pop off the page, obviously 2,100 yards passing, 31 touchdowns to two interceptions as a sophomore is insane. I mean, you've spoken at length about Rogan Parson. He's going to be incredibly talented. It'll be interesting to see how that Antonian team moves forward and how the South as a whole, that's always the narrative of the South's weak compared to D1. Can a guy like Rogan Parson really take an Antonian team that will be at the top of the South perpetually to go and compete with, I'm not even saying the top teams in the North, the mid-tier teams in the North, maybe make their way to a semifinal run? That'll be interesting. That's the main thing. The only other thing is on the list, they had, I was scrolling through just looking for any nines and tens, mostly tens being sophomores. And they've got Carter Devereaux listed as a sophomore, which is just blatantly incorrect. But besides that, I mean, yeah, we're always looking for holes in this list or egregious oversights. I don't see anything crazy here. Ryan, before we move on to defense, any overarching thoughts?
I mean, I have to ride for my dog. I've said it all year long that I thought he was one of the best kickers I've ever seen in all of private school. And
You
Jack
give him kickers
Dragas,
love?
one, and his name's Jack Dragas, and he goes to Legacy Christian Academy, and that seems like bias, but it is. No, and to be fair, I don't really know the whole story of Michael Taylor, and I don't have the stats in front of me from Justin Dewar's versus Dragas. But Dragas had a great year. I wanted to highlight that. I talked about him all year long. I really like that he made honorable mention. That's still very, very cool. But yeah, obviously I'm always going to advocate for him being So you got, yeah, second team all district, honor roll mention all state, super cool for Dragas, and then of course Luke Lawrence, with the athlete, basically just the I stepped up when I wasn't supposed to have it, and then I made something out of nothing, and we went to playoffs and we went to semifinals. Luke Lawrence is super impressive, and the rest of the legacy guys on that honorable mention list did well. But I agree with y'all, it is pretty cool to see some of these guys. Can I pose one thing before we go on this whole list down? Because we're gonna talk more about it. What do y'all think about four running backs being listed? I kind of wish you would sub out one of the backs for another receiver spot. Do y'all
Yeah, I
agree?
don't know why we're getting four backs and four receivers. That's a good point. It's not something I've even thought about a whole lot in previous years, but
Yeah.
you know, that there's four receivers on a field at once. There are,
At
unless
most
it's some
two.
crank formation, yeah, two backs at most. I mean, I would personally like to see, we could, yeah, even three backs, five receivers. I don't know.
Yeah,
Maybe that's
because
just because
if you're gonna do
yeah.
that, like, why don't you do like three backs, five receivers, and like two athletes? Because like, there's guys that play both positions. If you're gonna give love, give the guys more athletes love. It, but I
I
get
just
it.
feel
But
like, yeah, I just feel like we're highlighting almost every back at that point, right? We're
yeah.
highlighting almost every back, which is fine. They all Some of them deserve it, but that's something I picked up.
What I will say, I've got two more things before we push it to Waverly and move on. Seeing Will Estes as the second overall back on that list is awesome. That's a guy we didn't get to talk about a whole lot because Lynch kind of got sandwiched in that District of Doom. Watching that dude play live, he is a monster, and I'm very pleased to see him get the recognition he deserves. And then also the amount of juniors on this list for Prestonwood just tells me that we had already alluded to that Prestonwood might be the favorite in D1 moving into next year. There's a really good chance. Caleb Kozalski, the offensive lineman's a monster. Obviously Matthew McClain, LJ Taylor getting first team All-State back whenever he was our projected third string back going into the year behind Tekashi Shaw and Caden Collins. I mean, it's a wealth of riches, and I doubt that Prestonwood's not going to bring any more guys in for next year. So that will be very fun. Waverly, we just went through all of the All-State offense. Overarching thoughts before we push this along.
Yes, I mean, y'all were talking about running backs. I agree that four is maybe, I don't know if I would say strange, but definitely a lot. But two of the guys on the second team All-State that I wanted to highlight for running backs, Walker talked about how me and him saw Jaden Jones. He had four touchdowns in the game that I saw, to be fair, was their homecoming against St. Pius. So maybe that had something to do with it. But really just strong, tough, an athlete. And then Marcus Hainisch, the Parish Episcopal running back. I hadn't really seen him much, but he made one catch in the state championship where I was standing right there and showed that not only is he tough, but he really had that athletic ability, almost like a receiver, which I'm sure y'all have all seen. But really, obviously, many good running backs in Taps Division One, but those are two that I wanted to highlight.
Definitely so. Walker, let's move on to the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I'll kind of just go through it. Defensive line, Maddox Sakiri, one. Jack Harwell, number two, absolutely deserved. Those guys are monsters. They absolutely deserve it. I like the addition of Landry Sattler, even though he's not at Parrish a little bit anymore. But Obina Ume is a guy I've been raving about since he was a freshman. And I love that he got first team All-State, getting his flowers, the best defensive lineman in the South. He absolutely deserves that. Going to linebackers, CJ Witten, Sam Jones, 1A, 1B. Those dudes were monsters this year. CJ absolutely deserves the number one spot. And Sam Jones is one of the best interior linebackers we've had in TXPS in a while. We've raved about him since he was a sophomore, with dominating then. So good for him. I like Nick Wheeler, the guy who was a DB, honestly, at ESD last year, transitions to linebacker and makes his mark there, which is awesome to see. Utah Anderson, a guy that we've thought about forever at St. Mike's, gets his nod going to linebacker more than DB last year. Cade Violi is a guy we really don't talk a lot about because of Liberty being so good, but he's had a great couple years there. And then going to the DBs, I think this might be the most stacked list of DBs in all of TXPF. This is insane. When you do a guy like DC Crane at the number one spot, who leads Parrish in school's history and tackles because he started since he was a freshman, then you have Cooper Witten, going to be a true big time player, David Madison, a lockdown corner, and Brady Janusik, and then Enzo Bingham. playing both sides, but also being a big time safety for them. I love that list, man. I think it's a great five. I really wouldn't change much. I don't really think. I love that. And last thing, the punter, Carson Summers, is a guy that Jay Garcia actually told me a little bit more about. And you know, they've always had good kickers like Sam Stone and others, and he's one of the next guys coming up through the ranks. Big time player.
Yeah, definitely so. I'll hit on the DBs list again, just to reiterate what you said. The strength in that class, and also Cooper Witten is a sophomore getting the second overall spot. You know, we knew that he was going to be elite, you know, from the second that he touched the field. And he's just cementing that over and over again. It's going to be really, really fun to watch, seeing that he's got 2 more years in TXPS. It was funny. I was looking at this list earlier and I saw Christopher Witten and I'm like at linebacker and I was like, okay, Cooper plays DB. How does Cooper make? I was like, oh, CJ, that's what that stands for. So that was just a funny moment. But in all seriousness, another one of the Witten clan that it's a pretty daggum good football player, well deserved. Seeing, like you said, Obinna Ume make that first team All-State lineman list as a junior, since you've had eyes on him for that long. What he'll be able to do in his senior season at St. Thomas is going to be one to watch, especially in the South. And then yeah, in a guy like going back, and I'll round it out on the DB, seeing David Madison, a guy who we thought was going to be a very clear number one, even kind of get pushed down to three on the first team All-State list from guys like DZ Crane and Cooper Witten. It just speaks to the strength and the depth in Taps D1. I mean, there are so many good players, and we're just reiterating that by calling all their names over and over again. Ryan Schroeder, first team defense.
Yeah, I just want to point out all the D1 talent. I mean, we talk about D1 talent on the offensive side. Talk about D1 talent on the defensive side, man. All these guys are absolute ballers. And like we said, that secondary group might be one of the best we've ever seen. I don't want to spend too much time on this. I know we're going to keep hitting on it. But obviously, you have to shout out, you know, one of the only, what's it called, juniors, jeez. With Samuel Jones, a legacy kid, he was absolutely incredible this year. But overall, I'm reading this entire list. Not a single guy on here is someone that I wasn't impressed with this year. These are all dudes that I've are probably some of the best dudes I've ever seen play, at their position in private school. This is just an insane first team All-State list for sure.
Definitely so. Waverly West, first team All-State defense.
Yeah, one thing that I saw that I just kind of wanted to point out was Sam Jones. Y'all talked about him, the legacy guy. He led, if I have my stats right, Taps Division One in tackles and had one less game than all of the Liberty guys, all of the Parrish guys. And so I feel like that just kind of shows like how good he was and what a season he had. But also Walker's right with the secondary. I mean, what a group. There's not one weak link, and then you go down to second team and honorable mention, still so many good names. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we've stated there's a good amount of talent in Taps Division One. But Walker, let's move down to the second team, see what's going on there.
Yeah, we'll go through the second and honorable mention a little bit faster so we don't go all day. But I really like Jack Reed on there, Miller Bonsack from St. Mike's, Travis Dia was a guy, Travis, I'm gonna say Travis Dia actually from Central Catholic, made a big play in the Holy Bowl when I watched him there. I think absolutely, I think Nick Blevins, you know, the first guy on the second team, and Angelo Morrell from Prestonwood, I think those guys absolutely deserve a first team shout. And you know, you can do the politics later, but I think they deserve to be like, hey, they deserve to be on that first team list. I think those guys are dudes. I like Liam McCarthy this year. I liked Lucan Cohen when I saw him. Jackson Coleman was a guy who stood out as a sophomore in that game, Waverly and I covered. And I'm glad that the sophomore makes the list in second team. He absolutely deserves it. Guy Stern, who was our DB of the year last year in Taps, or was a nominee for one of them last year, makes the list on second team as a senior, which is just funny. And then finally, going to St. Honorable mention, not much really. I like Trace Langan's on there. I like the St. Pius guy gets on there. Will Garcia was a dude when I saw him this year against St. Thomas in the playoffs. Matthew McClain on both sides of the ball. And I want to give a little bit of shout out to DeMarcus Batiste. I think he had a great year, deserves to be on there. And Avin Houston was a dude that I thought deserves to be a little bit higher on this list. You know, he had a great year. What in man coverage, he tweeted out that he didn't have a touchdown scored on him until that Frisco Legacy playoff game. if you go 11 games and don't get scored on, that's pretty dang impressive. And I think he deserves to be a little bit higher. I think people need to talk about him a little bit more. It's 6'3", cover corner, locked down one side of the field. He needs to be talked about. But overall, I think it's a good list. I truly think first team or All-State really did well in Division One.
Yeah, definitely so. I don't have many qualms about it. Yeah, Avan Houston, the only thing I would say is that it'd be hard to bump him up, obviously, to first team just because of how much talent's there. But just looking at this, I mean, I could easily see him on the second team list. But at the end of the day, if that's the main thing I'm going to nitpick about this list, especially consider the way that past years have turned out, I mean, this is pretty solid in my judgment. Ryan, do you share the same opinion?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. Yeah, I mean, just the talent is outstanding at this level. And I think that we saw that a lot. Overall, I think a lot of this is correct. Like, I think a lot of it overall, there's nothing on here D1 wise that was glaringly wrong. And I think, but also, I think a lot of the knowledge of D1 is pretty, what do you call it? Like, the knowledge is just first come to mind type stuff is what I'd say. I don't. Maybe I'm just saying that because we cover all four divisions and stuff. I guess these coaches coach in those divisions, but like overall, I don't think D1 had that many issues, is what I say.
Yeah, it might have been better if it did because it would give us more things to talk about and nitpick. But at the end of the day, it probably is better that this list is right for the most part. Waverly, any closing comments regarding the Division One All-State list before we move on to D2?
Not really. I think y'all covered it all. The one thing that I was just gonna say is looking at the whole list of Division One, there's a ton of Antonian guys on there. And just like the season they had, obviously postseason ran into Legacy and lost second round, I think, but really had a lot of guys that made some big plays. So good for them.
Yeah, definitely so. Being an undefeated district champion will carry that weight regardless of how good the division across from you is. But they had a great season, and the guys that contributed to that undefeated district championship should be appropriately recognized. But with that being said, that'll close out Division One, and we will move on to TAPS Division Two All-State. Walker, what are we leading in with?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I'm Texas high school football news. It just doesn't stop today. Going into D2, I really love this offensive line. I think this offensive line and first team is pretty dang perfect. I mean, I really wouldn't take a guy off because I think it's so good. Diego Dela Cruz is a guy that we've been talking about for years, is a dominant, might be the number one offensive lineman in all of TAPS this year and all of TXPS. He absolutely deserves it. And William Cook, when talking to guys around TWCA, he said that's our MVP. That's William Cook, and he's our MVP this year as our offensive line tackle who came in from Conroe Oak Ridge this year, just dominated this year. He moves really well. He'll find a home. Absolutely. He's a big time prospect. When you have those two tackles, you talk about everyone else. RJ Lee, absolutely a dude. Going to Houston, Rowdy Pierce is a guy that Midland has raved about. The guy has rated him as like one of the top offensive linemen in his class. He loves him over there. And Ian Bothwell, who I've raved about for years, and he's an absolute dude. Those five guys, man, you would if that was an offensive line, oh man, you'd have a 2,000-yard rusher every single season. Like those are dudes, man. Gavin Parker's easy number one quarterback. Bryce Prince does I think is awesome. He gets the first back spot. He deserves all the love this year. Has had a great year at Grace Prep. Cannon Campworth, Langston Davis, Case Cole. Case Cole is a guy who's had a great year at Midland as well. Looking at the receivers, Quamonte, easy no-brainer number one guy. Blake Smith, Cade Millington from Regents deserve it too. Brandon Robinson is an interesting one. I'm not gonna lie. Is he on talent? Does he deserve to be there? Absolutely. But it's intriguing how it's kind of going this year.
He did have 971 yards and seven
Oh
touchdowns.
yeah,
And
he's had a.
and it's funny, the thing you have on the script is where is Bo Ellis? And that's one of the things I actually looked at on the list. 'Cause I was like, surely he's gotta be first team All State. And Quante Williams, I didn't even touch. I'm like, that dude,
Yeah.
there's no chance anyone's bumping him off. And I went through the stats. Braden Robinson, 971 and seven touchdowns. Blake Smith, 734 and 12 touchdowns. Cade Millington, 995 and 13. And then you go down to Bo Ellis, who had 957 and 12. So if there's anyone you're going to bump off, maybe it's Blake Smith with 700 yards and 12. I mean, he's got the same amount of touchdowns, 200 more receiving yards. I mean, at the end of the day, I actually do think it just based purely off stats that Bo Ellis could be bumped up there. I mean, then you're going to get in arguments over who is in the harder district, et cetera, et cetera. But if we're grasping at straws like this, at the end of the day, it's more or less correct in my opinion. And just watching Blake Smith play, it's going to be really hard to take that dude off first team.
Blake and Cade are very impressive as a duo, and I think that definitely holds weight because of the fact that, yeah, I mean, also a junior duo at that, a junior duo at that. I think that's pretty sick to see. But yeah, I was just gonna highlight that. But obviously, you also, that's another thing though. Why would you put two guys from the same team when there's definitely pair, like you could have a little bit of parity, you know? Like I
I think
definitely
they
think
deserve
that's
it though. Like that offense was humming all year, like with
right.
Regents. Like, and the only other guy I would say that gets a shout for first team is Bo Ellis. Like, especially with Blake Hamilton. I'm not saying Blake Hamilton was bad. When he got in the district, he torched. But like, I it's kind of the type of thing where I don't know, after maybe a slower start to the start of the season, does he deserve the nod over a couple other guys? You know what I mean?
Also, one other thing I'm gonna say too, besides not having two guys from the same team take a spot over another guy, this is gonna, I know this is something that they have to talk about in that room, or at least some coaches advocate for. You know, a guy's a senior over two juniors. Like, not that it should ever matter. Senior, like seniority should never matter, but those two guys are juniors. He's a senior. That doesn't matter. I'm just saying, like, it is kind of ironic that they chose two juniors from the same team over a senior from a different team with a senior had better stats. But
And I do think the funny thing is, and Walker, you will get to this when we get to athlete, but if you take Claudio Torres's rushing and receiving yards and separate them, he's first team all state receiver and running back. It's just crazy how that is.
yeah, he's unbelievable. I was about to, that's my next guy. Like we talked about it during the season. That's an MVP right caliber type of player in D2 this year. He's been unbelievable. So I'm glad they put him on first team. If he didn't get on first team, I would have had some problems.
Do we give D2 MVP to, if we're looking at the offensive side of the ball, Parkhurst or Torres?
Dude, I
Oh,
don't know.
goodness. Goodness.
That's gonna be in the war room,
Goodness.
being like a philosopher, no, philosopher,
There we go.
like looking at the map and be like, what is the
What do the
stars
numbers
lying? What do the
mean?
stars
It's
say? Yeah.
that Always Sunny meme, the Pepe Silva, where they're
Yeah.
just pointing at the whiteboard and all the tacks and the strings going everywhere.
Exactly. So I mean, I don't know. And that's gonna be a conversation we'll have a lot of fun doing down the line. But I like William Long there as a tight end, not really a big time tight end in D2. And I think Will Long deserves to be there. And shout out to him for that semifinal performance again. But yeah, let's move on to the second team and honorable mention for offense. I want to talk about Griffin Blocker for a second. Guy came over from Benbrook to SES this year. Did not know about him, and he's from my alma mater. Dude, like he's an absolute dude, man. He puts people in the dirt. I think the guy just put out his 26 ranking for offensive lineman. I think he has some number 6 in 26. Like he's gonna be a dude, man. I'm very glad that SES has him. Hopefully we can keep on to him. Hudson Dalton gets on there, well deserved. Victor Kankaba was a guy we haven't really talked about, but absolutely deserved. His film is always really good. Ian Harper deserves it. He locked down against TWCA in the semifinal games, and or not the semifinal game, but the last regular season game, he was really good. Now, we'll talk about it in a second, but I like Cole Powell Freeman. I like Sam Pope, Case Anding, Bo Ellis, no, Blake Hamilton, Noah Smith had a great year at Grapevine Faith, even though they had a rough year. Aiden Abercrombie stepping up for Cade Crophaller deserves that maybe second team nod. And Adam Vessel as athlete. Adam Vessel was a guy, I know they don't have a kick returner, punt returner. He's the number one kick returner, punt returner, maybe in the state besides Quentin Brown. Like it's 1A, 1B. His acceleration, you saw in the state game where the first kickoff of the game, he returns it back to the 50. Like it's this is the type of player the acceleration goes crazy. He deserves to be on that first team all state or second team all state. Looking over everything else, I like it. And this is going to be a conversation we're going into honorable mention. I'll save that for the after I do the rest. Kwame Ose, honorable mention. I like Ty Walker, Tyler Seeger, who just picked up his first D1 offer at offensive line. Awesome to see. Love seeing that. Dedrick Callis is a guy we haven't really talked about. Victoria St. Joseph, but a good back deserves honorable mention. Alan Thomas deserves it. Hudson Reaser. Man, I think he deserves, like, it's going to be the thing. Like, I like Hudson Reaser. I think he's awesome, and he's going to be the number one guy. He probably will make first team All-State next year, but, you know, there's just some dudes in front of him. But, like JD Richards at Hyde Park, he was great in the playoff game. Houston Shaw, we haven't talked about a lot. I think he's going to be Man, he might be an MVP caliber player next year as a sophomore or junior. He is unreal, man. He's going to be a bright, bright star for that Hyde Park team. Question is, who's going to coach him? We'll talk about that more as the weeks go on. But if he stays at Hyde Park, man, he's going to be unstoppable for them. Him and Moffitt are going to be an insane duo. But let's talk about the quarterbacks, right? Santiago Fernandez gets second team All-State, which is unbelievable. I think he absolutely deserves it. He's a top guy for me. I love him as a prospect. And then Jack Devine, the sophomore, gets honorable mention All-State after a great, great year. One of the top, maybe top or 1A, 1B 27s in the state. Cannon Toon doesn't get an All-State nod. That's crazy to me. I know that there's not that many spots to go around, but the guy who made the state championship for Second Baptist, who has a great year this year, doesn't make an All-State nod. Kind of crazy. That's all I'm going to say. I can go either way because, I would do this. I would talk about it like as a win, right? Second Baptist beat TWCA. I think he deserves the nod over Santiago. As a prospect, that's a whole different story. But you won more games. Your team went to the state title game. You deserve to be on there over Santiago, in my opinion. I bet the stats prove otherwise. Stats-wise, I bet Santiago's dominant, but he's a difference maker. Both of them are difference makers, but the guy made a little bit more of a difference to get his team home, if that makes sense.
The other question I have with that too is we obviously can't see Cannon stats. Since they actually Second Baptist is one of those teams not on max prep, so we actually couldn't tell you in front of you what we're looking at. But from just a pure like dominance perspective though, I do think Santiago Fernandez did more with less. Does that make sense? Like I think Santiago Fernandez really showed out for Woodlands Christian this year. I mean, y'all were talking how good he was for a long time, why they were making the push in that district, and it was because of him and the way he was leading that team. So I have respect for both. I was a huge Cannon Toon fan, still am a huge Cannon Toon fan. And if Cannon Toon threw for over 2,500 yards, which is where Santiago's sitting at right now, maybe we have that conversation. But I'm looking at 2,500 yards and 29 touchdowns, and is the second in D2. I don't. In my opinion, that's the spot he deserves at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's the big point of contention with this list. I don't have a whole lot to say otherwise. I'd make a more intelligent comment if I had, Cannon stats up here to go side by side with. It's just, and I didn't watch a whole lot of Santiago this year. He's obviously incredible. He raved about it since we saw him as a freshman at Cooper. But just watching Cannon play, just making, also, you said more with less, and I agree with that, but it's also Cannon seem to make a lot of plays out of nothing. And I know these lists, like I said, are based more on quantitative numbers and stats than they are the eye test, but it's really hard to discount the eye test that Cannon Toon gives you. We might talk more about it once we get both stats in front of us, but that's the main thing that I was going to say regarding that. Waverly, we just went through all of the offensive lists for Taps Division Two. Any thoughts from your side of the table?
Not really a whole lot. I mean, y'all said it. One thing that I was just going through, kind of the stats of Division Two, and a lot of the guys who were up there in total touchdowns or the most rushing yards or whatever didn't actually make any All-State list, which I thought was interesting that maybe stats didn't apply as much. Like two names that kind of stood out to me were Braden Jennings, the Brentwood Christian guy, quarterback. He top five in both rushing yards and total touchdowns. Obviously, Brentwood did not have a very good season overall, but just kind of that, do stats matter? Do how you played in the postseason matter? Just y'all said it all.
I want to ask that real quick because obviously we talk about a lot of other, awards across all sports and stuff, especially at the college and pro level. It is based on how your team does. From y'all's experience, and maybe I don't know as much, do y'all think that winning does go into some of the placement of this, or is it more of a statistical category type list?
Well, if you saw like in the Heisman race, Jentzy didn't win it, and he brought his team to the playoff. You know what I mean? But it's more about what Travis Hunter did on the field. So you kind of have that argument where does winning matter? You make the playoff, you make the championship, you win your
Right.
championship, but you don't win it. So that's just one example. But I think it's different. I think in everything it's a little bit different. You can't have a one metric to do it because if winning matters all the time, or like, are you the best player on the field? Right? It's that type of thing. So.
What I will say is I think there's three things that kind of factor into this decision. It's stats, winning, and I guess the eye test, for lack of a better word, how you perform on the field. I think in order of the way, because it's a blend of those three things, I think in order of the way it should be considered is stats first, then whatever the eye test is, and then winning. I'm not saying you should discount winning, but winning is it's a team metric. One guy can't win games for a team.
I mean,
He
that's
can
kind of what we
help.
it's what we do for the it's for what we do the award show. That's kind of how our metrics go. Like eye test, we watch film or see in person, and then if like it's a lower tier player that didn't really win with his team or a guy who wins, you kind of you maybe pull the edge that way because you helped your team win.
Yeah, it's more of a tiebreaker than anything for us. It's not at all an end all be all. I just think, stats for an individual award, which is what these lists are, should carry so much more weight than winning. But I don't know anything. I'm just reading the names and talking about them. But that'll clear up the offensive side of the ball, Walker. Let's go to defense, and I've got several large qualms, mostly one with this list, but I'm sure we'll run into that.
Let's talk about the defensive line. Knapp, Ashford, Robinette. I don't think there's a better three in all of Taps and all of private school. Those three are legit. That is very, very impressive. Prince Holiday deserves love on the first team. I think he was one of the best defensive ends, like pass rushers this year. I think he absolutely deserves it. Charles Burton as well for Regents. Let's talk linebackers. And you know what? We'll go to DBs first, and then we can talk about linebackers because truly insane. Andrew Novy, great year. I remember watching him as a sophomore and being like, that kid's going to be really good. Makes the transition to safety this year, shows why first team All-State, first DB deserves it. Blake Hamilton, lockdown corner this year. You know, we talk a lot about the wide receiver part of him, but his DB locking down one side of the field was very impressive. Ethan Dishman might be my favorite corner in all of TXPS. I think he's a lockdown guy. On man, he did not give up a touchdown, I think, all year. You saw in the state game where he was locking down most of the time, and they gave him that BS penalty in the end zone to let All Saints score when he was locking down that receiver. And that's kind of the thing where he's just a lockdown corner. And you saw it even when he went to when I really knew about him was when he went to a camp, the public and private school, just like a big time circuit camp. And he won DB MVP at that. When he locked down any guy, because that's just who he is. Big time player. Any college that watches his film is going to know the same. I like Caden Richardson, a lockdown corner there at Fort Worth All Saints. Did the same in the semifinal game and the state game. And then Claudio Torres. No, not much to say. Claudio Torres. But let's talk about the linebackers, and we can go into this first team, second team honorable mention. Nico Laura. Bryce Butler get the 1-2 spot. Brady Young after a great year. Dominic Van gets in there, and Logan Kendall, who I think is underrated. But and Wes, you can ride with me after this, and you can share your pieces. The fact that Graham Rychez, Grayson Boker, and then Jacob Maynard is on honorable mention All State is absolutely absurd. Like I don't get it. I truly don't get it. I know that you can't have like. Every linebacker, but I know All Saints, you don't want to put every All Saints player on there. And I know also how All District works is the top teams get their guys first and then you fight around for the rest of the teams. The fact that All Saints didn't really get to put that guy higher is insane. They had two Midland linebackers above Jacob Maynard. And I'm not discrediting those Midland linebackers. I think Brady Young is impressive. I think he had a fantastic year. You saw it in the Grace game, West. Like he dominated in that one, right? Like he did. He's a good player. I think he deserves a first team nod, maybe. Not over Jacob Maynard, in my opinion. I think Jacob Maynard is a dude. You saw it in the semifinal in the state games when I saw him. He made an impact every single down. That front seven with that off defensive line was the best, I think, in all of TXPS. That front seven was the best in TXPS because of him roaming in the little in the linebacking spot.
I mean, he had 107 total tackles and 18 tackles for loss. I mean, I can't go through and pull up everyone above him stats. I can tell you very confidently, not everyone above him's got over 18 tackles for loss and 107 total tackles. Then you factor in the eye test with how good he is, how good he was at TVS. That doesn't matter because this is 2024. But it's just he was the leader in the middle of that defense that won a state championship based off of the defense itself. So stats you got. eye test you got, winning you have. I don't understand that. That's really probably the only part of all these lists that's going to get me a little bit fired up that may Nord. I mean, not even is just honorable mention, is not first team. That's a first team All-State linebacker and probably a
Right.
top three linebacker. That grinds my gears a little bit. I think it's dumb. I think it's dumb that All Saints doesn't even have anybody in a number one linebacker. You know, they have the best front seven in the state. Two of those guys are reflected in the lineman spot. I don't think anyone at All Saints is crying about this because they achieved their ultimate goal of winning a state championship, and that means more to those guys than individual accolades. I'll get mad on their behalf. May Nord is a first team All-State linebacker.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't understand why we're like not allowing certain guys out of spots because we're trying to not put too many of the same guy from the same team type stuff. But when do you draw the line? Where does it matter? When does it not matter? And then you don't even have anyone representing All Saints in the linebacker slot. So like, why is he not there? I almost don't understand it like tenfold. Moving off of that though, there's one guy I want to point out. I know we're gonna go down the rest of the list, but I just thought I'd point this out. So Fort Bend this year, right? You know, the comeback year basically, like it started off terrible, right? A guy named Tyler Curry, if I'm saying that right, Tyler Curry.
Curry.
Is it Curry? Curry.
Curry.
That makes a little more sense with how you read it. No, but he finished third in interceptions for D2. He only played 8 games and he missed the entire month of September, which is when they were losing, then came back and basically was a ball hawk for them among the other defensive things he did. Tyler Curry, I don't know why it's struggling with that so much. Tyler Curry, just really impressive to me, and overall, you know, really stood out to me on why, you know, where he fell, which for some reason I can't find. He falls in honorable mention, for the secondary and stuff. You know, there's 5 secondary slots per each level. You know, the question I'm about to pose to y'all is, if you get hurt, if you don't play a certain number of games that the rest of the guys do, and you put up similar stats, I don't think his tackle stats are probably his, you know, snaps or, you know, PBUs are probably, they're not all there probably, right? But from an interception perspective and just an overall, your team played better when you were on the field. Does that hold weight, and are you penalized for not playing as many games?
I will say, I feel like you are. I'm not
Yeah.
going to sit here and say you should or shouldn't be. I think you are. But I think at the same time, when you get all those coaches in a room, and especially if you played more than a couple, you know, district games, they've all seen you play.
Yeah.
If you have a guy like Tyler Curry that all these guys have seen for a while, it's not like this is his first season making plays. He's made plays in the past. You have film on him. And then even though he's missed a few games, you saw what he did when he was healthy. To only have him honorable mentions a head scratcher. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, Walker. I'm curious if you share the same
Yeah,
opinion.
it's the kind of thing with like Tekashi Shaw. If he was healthy, that's a first team caliber running back, maybe in D1. But because he was banged up a lot of times, he slides over to honorable mention. You know, it's that type of thing where, yes, he didn't play enough, but he still made his impact and he deserves to be recognized. I'm fine with Tyler Curry on honorable mention, low key. I think he's fine. He got banged up a lot later in the year and during the year, but I'm glad at least they recognized him.
I agree. The only thing I will say about the comparison you just make is I'm assuming Tekashi Shaw's numbers were probably worse on a rushing perspective. I think it's
Yeah.
impressive that Tyler Curry was able to keep up with the interception total while also sitting out the entire month of
Agreed.
September.
100%.
Yeah.
I'll say some last things and I'll leave it over to Waverly so she can kind of wrap up second or D2. I really like Jonah Kalu making the honorable second team defensive line. I think he had a great year. Kelvin Baptiste as well. I like Boston Rodriguez, the guy over there in Midland. He makes second team. I love that. Going to honorable mention. I love Adam Burns making that list. I love that Cash Harris and Hudson Barwell makes those lists. I think they were underrated dudes in D2 this year. I think they deserve to be higher, but who do you put them over? That's I don't know. But I think they had great years from the guys. I saw them live multiple times. Amari Barthe was the other lockdown corner on the other side of Amari Richardson, Caden Richardson at All Saints. I think he has a bright, bright future ahead of him. Good time, big time player. And that's really it for the honorable mention. I want to say some other things. No Asia Bradford or Adam Vessel on all state defense is kind of crazy, in my opinion. I think they deserve to be on there. I have some great years. If I know I looked at the all district lists, Max Supley doesn't get on there, but it's still a 9.5 sacks, I think, something along those lines. If he's healthy the full year and Cypress had a good year, he deserves to be on that list. And speaking of Cypress, if you told me that John Kelly doesn't make all state before this year, I would have called you crazy. Like, what a year for him. And I know he's going to Kansas and all that. Just a weird, weird year at Cypress where, like, I think like 25 guys got hurt this year at Cypress. Like, just an unreal injury bug year. And you saw that in round one. I'll list this and let them Waverly talk and you can talk, Wes. So I looked at the all district stuff. There is not one freshman in the entire all-district or all-state list for D1. D2, none on all-state. And then there's only, I think, like seven on in Division II on all-district. Jaden Ramon, and if I had to guess, guys, that is the third brother of the Ramon family at TCS Lubbock, which is another one that we're going to have to watch out for. So that's fun. Your boy from Tyler Grace makes it the second.
Nah, that's not how you say that.
Tyler Grace community makes the second team all district, which I love to see. Bishop Dunn Tobias Whitley makes second team DB, which I'm watching his film. I sent it to Wes. He's gonna be a good prospect over there. Makes really good plays, well with his hips. He's gonna be a good player. Jackson Bryson from Grace Prep. Don't know much about him. Here's one I want to talk about in a second. Jude Womack, the first team offensive line in District 3. Yes, District 3 is a little bit rough in all district. But this kid is now moving from San Antonio Christian to Frisco Legacy, which is I heard about at the Frisco Legacy Antonian game, and I didn't get to meet him. But big time player, 6'4", 300 pounds as a freshman. Watch the film. It's impressive. Like, Ryan, I texted you in this chat when I found out about him. You got a good one, man. And you have him with Drew Edmonds on the other side. You got a good offensive line going into next year for Frisco Legacy and staying in D1. So, big time prospect. He's going to be a big, big time prospect. Might be the top 28 guy that I know about right now in TXPS. Finally, I'll talk about one other guy, Baron Meacham, honorable mention wide receiver from TWCA. I liked him in person. He was kind of their fourth guy off the bench needed to play, and he made good plays when I saw him. So shout out to him. But Ryan, you go ahead.
No, only thing I was going to say was this is all part of my big plan of it's finally time to bring everybody in. Let's bring it in. We're the Frisco, the sports capital. Oh gosh, Sports City is what we're called. We're called Sports City. Let's bring Sports City to the private school level. This is Sports City, and it starts in Frisco, Texas, with Frisco Legacy.
We're about to see Coach Hicks and Legacy go on a Joey McGuire and tech-esque transfer portal run, just grabbing
Unreal what they're
everyone.
doing.
That would be quite fantastic to see. But before we move on to Division Three, Waverly, we all just spoke, monologued for a very long period of time. Any closing comments on Taps Division Two Allstate?
Just kind of two things on defense that y'all went over, but just wanted to highlight Dalton Knapp, just the season he had, our TXPS Media defensive MVP of the Division II game, 32.5 tackles per loss, 15 sacks on the season, and the next closest guy in Division II had nine. That is just so wild to me. K-State's getting a great guy. What a season for him. And then just Bryce Butler for second. A two-way guy made first team on defense, a really good player for them. And if I'm not mistaken, he will be graduating, but that's great for them and good list overall, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. If there's only one thing I can get super upset about in the first two all state list, I think we've done well so far, especially better than prior years. But Walker, half the list in the bag. Let's move on to Division Three, where I feel like we're going to see a lot of blue on this list.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of go a little bit faster because we're you know it's going and we're just gonna go. I'm gonna go all of offense and then we'll talk and then we'll go all of defense. First team offense. I love the offensive line. Jefferson, Lerma, Estevez, Gill, Tucker. I think they all deserve it. QB1, Luke Carney, absolutely deserved. Corell Buchholter, the sophomore, gets the top spot in running backs. That's gonna be one to watch and see if he how he does at at Covenant and how that is because also. Interesting to watch. I was going to do a coaching segment at the end of this really quickly, but Covenant Christian is now open. The head coaching job is now open, and I wonder what that does for some of these guys on this list at Covenant. Do they look around elsewhere? Just interesting to watch. But Taylor Ogden deserved it well. Titus Mews, well deserved. Dylan Wickham from New Braunfels as a sophomore makes first team, one to watch. Keaton Lee, no brainer, number one wide receiver, was a dude this year. Couldn't be really stopped in district and in the playoffs. Dylan Turner, Nick Hall, and Ryan Weitz, the younger brother of guys, remember him, from Lake Country, well deserved on that first team list. One of the better athletes in D3, we need to talk about more. And then Marco Gomez. Going to second team, Welker Horn, well deserved. Trinity is getting an absolute dude. Louis Lopez, I think, deserves a first team nod. The running back from Holy Cross, I think he had a great year this year. Absolute workhorse. I like Brady Chandler and Ben Golick on that list as well. I love Tristan Brown West, man. This dude can fly. We need to watch this film more because we didn't talk about him much at Pantego because Pantego is such a interesting place. Pantego got a dude in Tristan Brown. Watch his film when we're done with this, man. He can fly. It was very, very impressive. And not knowing much about him, we needed to talk about more this year. I know he's a senior, which kind of sucks, but he had a great year. Honorable mention, Gabby Alvarado, well deserved. And being real, if there wasn't a guy named Welker Horn or Luke Carney in one and two, he'd be up there. Like he just there's dudes in front of him. I like Isaiah Jackson Rice on that list as well. I kind of think he deserves a second team nod. Was a great asset to Holy Cross this year, and that's kind of my first thoughts on offense for D3.
Yeah, I want to give Taylor Ogden especially his flowers. This dude rushed for 2,300 yards, 35 touchdowns. He averaged 10 yards per carry. Obviously, we're not going to talk about him as much because he's from Shelton, and Shelton's traditionally not a powerhouse team that's going to be in the news a whole lot. But I just watched this dude for a half, and the dude can flat out play ball. I mean, he's super solid. You score 35 touchdowns on a season, you earn yourself a first team All-State. Not even a nod, a solidified spot. So shout out to him. I don't like seeing Gibby honorable mention, but like you said, Carney's first team undoubtedly. Welker Horn's going to be second team. It's for how much Gibby poured into that program, and for being a guy that's not as naturally gifted with intangibles like height and stuff like Welker and Carney are. I mean, it's just you got to give him his flowers. I know that's basically been this entire season. The podcast is giving Holy Cross their flowers, but for one last time, we'll do it for Gibby Alvarado because he is just the heart and soul of that Holy Cross team. That's got a lot of heart and soul. Outside of that, obviously, Coral Buckhalter, a guy that we got put on to by Walker, a sophomore being first overall in the first team All-State list, a dude that's going to be making plays at a big level next year. Very excited to watch him compete. And outside of that, I mean, it's pretty standard. I don't have a whole lot else to comment on. The running back class, I do want to just say again, is very, very good. When you've got Titus Mews, a guy that had teams like SMU offering to the third spot on that list. I mean, a very talented class of backs in Division III. Ryan, well, your thoughts on D3?
This might be the most correct one I've seen, and it also probably goes to some of the things I was saying of like, obviously we know the higher list better and stuff, but also they weren't afraid to put Holy Cross in the spots that they deserve, right? Like they weren't afraid to put Marcos Gomez, Mark, not Marcus, sorry, Marco Gomez and Nick Hall both in the first team slot, as well as, give two spots on the O line. That O line that was that impressive that went up against all those other O lines when they're not even remotely close to the same size as the dudes they're playing on Antonian, on, the rest of the stout lineups they're playing, Central Catholic for that matter too. So overall, I like how they weren't afraid to put Holy Cross where they need to be. I feel like we need cohesion across divisions to decide whether we're going to be able to put the best team in the division there or not, or whatever. And I know someone's going to be like, well, Dallas Christian is actually the best team in this division, which you may be right. But in the same vein, there's more ballers in the offensive side from a season perspective from Holy Cross. And I'm glad that they were represented well, especially with two on the offensive line. I mean, Jose Lerma is one of the one of the like most stout dudes I've seen. I've never been like, all right, let's get rolling. All right, I don't think I've ever said that about an O-line, but I was like, all right, let's get rolling, Jose Lerma. I'm ready for this.
Yeah, definitely so. Correct in a lot of spots. Waverly, first team All-State for Division III. Any comments from your side?
Yeah, I mean, lots of Holy Cross, lots of Dallas Christian, but Lubbock Christian has a ton of guys on there, most of them graduating. But I do think I experienced twice in my school's playoffs running into just the juggernaut that is their team. And so it'll be interesting to see how much they reload. I do think if they do reload, they do retain some guys to see if they can make a deep playoff run. I don't really know what that looks like, but lots of Lubbock Christian guys, and I think it's well deserved.
I would have to agree with that statement. Walker, let us flip to the defensive side of the ball and analyze that.
Can I ask one more question inside of just one more thing I was going to say? Athlete can be a quarterback, right? Just real quick. Athlete can be a quarterback. Okay. Not, I just wanted, why did Gibby not fall forward? Why does Gibby not fall forward then? You
Okay.
know?
So the thing about that is I don't disagree because I think you're right. He deserves it. I wonder, and I think I'm right about this, is that on the all district sheets, then you have to list him as the first team athlete. And in that district three, you're not putting any other quarterback above Gibby in that
Dude,
district. You know what I mean?
that's terrible because of the fact that, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, because that, yeah, it goes back to exactly what you said. It all comes from the district slate. So if you
Yeah.
list them as an athlete versus a court, dang, okay, yeah, that makes the most sense. I
Yeah.
you ha you should be able to change that, and
I agree.
not that it matters, but you
It's a
should.
small critique, but I think he absolutely deserves to be an athlete because of also his ability to run the ball in the run game. I
Yes,
think he deserves
yes,
to be there. So I
yes.
agree with your point. It just is what it is. But moving to defense, I'll kind of go pretty quick. Valenzuela and Lerma, 1-2. Absolutely deserve the best two defensive linemen, defensive ends in TXPS Division III this year. Darius Roberts, Marcus Perez, well deserved. Jalen Gray deserved. JJ Cossum, well deserved. He's been a dude since he made all district as a freshman. And I remember watching him play, and he was a dude to this year. Patrick Ortiz should be probably the top spot in Division III in DBs, but I'm glad he's number one or on first team. So I'm glad about that. Ryan White's, like I said before, makes first team All State, deserves more love than D3, and that's kind of on us. So we need to be better, guys. but Oliver Haltonen was a guy that, if we're talking kickers, both first team all kicker and all on punter as well. A guy we need to talk about more just got offered by Air Force the other day as a kicker, as a 25. Shout out to him, big time player over there at Covenant. Second team, shout out to Connor Evans, a sophomore on second team, especially with the same with Timothy Casello. Both are going to be dudes on the defensive line. Will Cruz is a dude. Michael Mata, Nick Hall, Tristan Brown again, Isaiah Rice all deserve, well deserved on the second team defense. And then finally, not much to say about the honorable mention defense. This is kind of running out of my expertise on names, but I like seeing Indy, I'm going to say Indy Etta making the list after being kind of hurt a couple of games this season for Covenant. So shout out to him. But overall, that's kind of the list in Division Three.
Yeah, definitely so. I think it's Jose Lerma. Not Valenzuela too, but Lerma being one of the few both sides of the ball, first team all state is definitely something worth mentioning. I think we've only seen like two guys so far up to this, but I don't think there were any in Division One. I think Division Two and Three are the first time that we're seeing that. And just you're obviously gonna see that more in those divisions just because more guys are gonna go both ways. But still, like I thought it was cool being even mentioned all district both sides of the ball. To go first team all state both sides of the ball really sets you in a different class from your peers. And it's worth mentioning. But outside of that, I mean, I think Walker hit on it pretty well. I don't have any other qualms with this list. It makes sense. And once you get farther past second team, the name recognition from my standpoint drops off, not having all the stats in front of me. But all that being said, whether it's a lack of knowledge or not, I think this one is mostly correct, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, we got to mention Ryan White's. I mean, that's insane. He is Lake Country Christian. That is something special. To yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, I don't want to go too long on this. I know we've already talked about a lot of it, but yeah, truly, truly impressive for what Ryan Weitz did. And yeah, I mean, gosh, man, I'm being so disrespectful to all these punters and kickers, but I'm gonna sit and watch the Oliver film. I'll sit and watch some Oliver film. I promise. I'll get down to some Oliver Hotonen.
Hey, close enough.
Yeah, we'll watch the film. I got you. Colleyville Covenant. All right. I'm learning. I'm learning.
All right, Waverly, before we move on to your neck of the woods, Division III All-State, before we round it out, your thoughts.
I mean, yeah, very, just like I said in offense, very Holy Cross and Dallas Christian heavy, which is well deserved because they were definitely the best two teams. Overall, I think y'all kind of hit it all. I don't have a ton of D3 knowledge, but it seems like mostly pretty good picks from where I'm standing.
I would have to agree with that as well. So, Walker, let us get into the final division where Waverly will help us out a little bit more. D4, some good things, some head scratchers. We got it all. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk a lot about D4, and then I'll kind of just pass the baton to Waverly, let her kind of do some things, especially about Brazos Christian's dudes, if that's good with you. Firstly, first team offense. I love that you've seen. I know this is a Brazos Christian guy, but I love seeing Cooper Marrone there. I think he's without the doubt the best quarterback in Division Four this year. Prove it, like true quarterback this year. I think he absolutely deserves it. And being only a sophomore, Coach Walsh has his guy for years to come, and that's exciting to see. I love seeing Quincy Reams as an athlete on there. Mark Rayson, John's Lazarball, Lardzibal, I'm gonna say that, is a guy that we knew was coming in from Azle, was gonna be a really good player. Didn't show up on the win column for Mercy Culture, but I think he's gonna be a really, really good player, maybe the top back in D4 next year. So one to watch going forward. Sam Perez, Austin Evans make a really good first running back core. Bradley Mays, Caleb Mitchell, 1-2, absolutely deserved. Hudson Kutak is a dude as well. But I'll let Waverly share her piece of why I that's kind of crazy, to be honest, that he doesn't make another guy doesn't make this list. Going to second team offense, Luke Live Oak quarterback Colton Wilson. It was a big reason for their success this year. I'll let Waverly talk about it a little bit more, but Clayton Haas for Hallettsville is solid as well. Looking at the first team defense, I'm just gonna do it all. Why not? You know, and I'll let Waverly fill in the gaps. First team defense, Corey Thomas absolutely deserves the number one spot. No brainer. Love seeing Brody Gardner on there as well. Tough kid, deserved. The number one linebacker goes to the sophomore, George Adonostis, who absolutely deserves it. Tyburn is also on there, and I'll let Waverly talk about him a little bit more. Mark Rayson, first DB, of course. But it's funny. What's funny is about that is he played defensive end in the state game. They said let him run, let him run off the edge and make chaos happen. So he'll be absolutely a safety linebacker at the next level. It's funny seeing him play defensive line as a first team All-State linebacker.
Let's put them all over the field. All 11
Right.
spots. Mark Grayson.
Yeah, best player on the field. Let him go to work. DB core is actually really good. I love Rayson, like Micah Farsler, Evan Allercamp, Hudson Kutak, Reed Jackson, all deserving. Shout out to the sophomore Reed Jackson. I remember watching him against Bay Area being like, that's a dude, and he deserves to be recognized. Second team, Hunter Evans, Braden Raybuck, sophomores on second team is going to be one to watch. Quarterback and defensive lineman, Quincy Reams makes second team All-State, which is very funny. That's really cool to see. Gabriel Logsdon was a very good player for Central Texas this year. He's got a couple offers. Second team linebacker and first team offensive line. Now, this is interesting. Walker Hughes is the only freshman in any division to make an All-State team. That's going to be something to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how he progresses. And then honorable mention defense, Ben Tillery, the dude. And then Tucker Brown, I thought, deserves a little bit higher. But I'll pass the baton off to Waverly and let her kind of share a little bit more what she thinks about D4.
Yeah, probably because I have the most experience talking about D4 out of all of the divisions. I definitely have the most problems with this division. My number one, I am going to get on a soapbox. Y'all just bear with me. Truett Godike not being first team on either side of the ball is insane. I don't know how that happened. He led Division Four in touchdowns, was Brazos Christian's, I mean, everything. Brazos Christian had a great senior class, but our number one receiver also was great whenever we'd get him to run the ball at kind of that like running back flex position. I don't know. Also, he was the key in our secondary. I don't know how he didn't make first team. That is absolutely wild to me. One thing that I also wanted to point out about the second team offense, the Live Oak quarterback, Colton Wilson. He had kind of researching Live Oak before we played them in the semifinals. I wasn't really sure kind of how he was. I think maybe their max preps stats may have been wrong because it said that there were two or three games where he had no passing yards. And I was like, this cannot be right. And he tore our secondary up in the semifinal game, quite honestly. It was a very close game, much closer than anyone expected. He was just very accurate, had a good arm, and shout out to him. I think he'll be a good player. Other than that, I think they did pretty good on the first team. Definitely Evan Allerkamp for CTCS, really good player. Can not only play wide receiver, I want to say he also maybe kind of flexed, but good player there. Defense. Corey Thomas, obviously, you can't go wrong with him. Wreaked havoc no matter what level he was playing at, every single game. He's awesome. One thing that I want to say was Ty Urban for Brazos Christian made first team defense, and he was Brazos Christian's leading tackler, actually, which I thought was so interesting, by over 20 tackles as a sophomore, which with Brazos Christian senior class, I thought that that was a huge accomplishment for him. Junior year coming up next, he's going to be a great prospect to watch, especially for college coaches. He's big on baseball, but shout out Ty Urban, had a great season. Grant Boehm, I was also really, I thought that was a really good pick, that maybe he didn't get as much recognition as the other guys, but I want to say he was on both sides of the ball on some of the lower ends. You said it all, great DB list, Reed Jackson. But also Jackson Caffey not making it higher. That was also something that I kind of had an issue with. Obviously, I have that BCS bias. But and then lastly, before I wrap it up, you talked about Walker Hughes, the freshman for Mercy Culture Prep, and then John Anthony Larzipol. I don't really know how you say it. Also the Mercy Culture Prep guy. They had a very young team this year and competed. I mean, obviously, First Baptist, no one really competed with them in that district. But I think with their head coach, he's trying to get as many young guys over there as he can. And he's building up that program. I don't know. They probably won't win any state championships as long as First Baptist and Brazos Christian, Central Texas, those names are in Division Four. But they're really aimed to watch in kind of that mid-major level of the Division Four teams with a lot of young guys. And I think they could really make some noise in Division Four. But those are kind of my issues with D4, what I thought they did well. And you have this on the very bottom of the list. I said this in an earlier episode. Shout out Samuel Seabolt, first team punter, second team kicker. Love our Brazos Christian kicker and go special teams. Ryan can attest to that, but that's all I have.
Dude, what? Why? I feel like I'm now just gonna be a hater of all special. I was never like that before. I just had one take, and now I have to stand on it forever, I guess.
Yep.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's what the internet is. I mean,
That's
that.
good. It's not the internet. It's these DMs with these kids that, are telling me, "You don't know what you're talking about, old man." Old man yells at sky. I'm like, no, I'm not yelling at the sky. I'm also not old man. I'm 23. Stop giving me a hard
Dude,
time,
oh,
dude.
to them, we're old, and you figure that out quickly.
God.
I will say it's funny because back in the day, I've said this before. Whenever we first started doing this, I'd get a DM like that, and it would ruin my day. I'd be like, how can they not think I don't know Texas private school football? Now there's like 30 of them that roll in a week. I'm like, I mean, yeah, you're probably right. And I just move on about my day.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I fall on the sword here.
Perhaps, but Waverly, I wanted to say the mention of mid-major in D4, for some reason I really liked that that comparison. That made me smile. But also I want to reiterate your comment on Mercy Culture really having a young team, and there've been a lot of smoke and mirrors over the past couple of years. Like, there's a lot of hype around that program. Obviously, it hasn't materialized in the way that they would have wanted, but also they're so young, and you see all this young talent kind of rising to the top of these lists. We really could look up in maybe as soon as a year, maybe a couple years, and be like, these guys are competing in D4 whenever we thought that it might not happen. I think they've got it going in the right direction there. And also, you're not just a homer for the Truett Godike take. He's got the most touchdowns in all of D4. Not particularly close. He's got like 20% more as the next person, 27 as opposed to 23. 8 rushing touchdowns, 17 receiving touchdowns. That baffles me. I really don't. I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Even watching the kid play live, he's talented. Again, stats passes, eye test passes, winning passes. I don't know. There's always going to be a couple insane errors on the list. That will certainly be one. But I think Truitt can rest his head at night realizing that he's one of the best players in D4, regardless of what some list says.
Yeah, the
But
list don't matter. That he's a dog and he'll remember it as a dog in that school. That's all that matters.
yeah,
So.
if the list mattered, then there'd be a ton of Grace players, and I would have been first team All State 6 years ago.
True.
But not neither here nor there. But yeah, that y'all spoke at length. I can't break it down better than Waverly did. That kind of sums up my thoughts on Division Four.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not much else to say. Shout out Ben Tillery though. That man was like putting everything on his on the line in that state game against Corey Thomas on both sides. And it was like Corey Thomas is a guard. He had to go up against him then, and then as a defensive tackle, he had to block him. Like he gave everything he had. Shout out to Ben Tillery, man. What a dude. So,
Shout out to
absolutely.
the young schools in D4. I like that they got a lot of guys on here. Like that everybody was well represented. So
Yeah.
shout out all
Like
the young
Mercy
guys.
Culture is a school that just started in the past like 4 years, maybe
That is
three.
crazy.
So it can be something like that. They're going to lose Landon Martinez, their quarterback, who I think is a senior. But knowing them, like Losbertall coming from Hazel, he's going to get a guy from around there. Maybe they have a young guy. I don't know. But that school is definitely going to be one to watch.
I think it will. Walker, before we exit, you put together a nice hypothetical in the spreadsheet that is Division One versus Division Two All-State. How about you break that down a little bit for us, and we'll give our comments regarding who we think would win this matchup.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about much like this. It's going to be on the screen, maybe. I don't know. It's definitely going to be on Instagram because I saw how the uniform graphic did and everyone loved that. By the way, I won on Instagram the poll. Shout out to me. But Waverly won on Twitter, so shout out to her. And she
Hey
was
there.
second place on Twitter. She was second place on IG. So I think if you put them together, Waverly's lowest won number one. So shout out to the people, they believed in her. But I'm happy with number one on IG. We had like eight, like I think like 1600 viewers on that thing. Like we had a lot of people, so that was good. But
Yeah, shout out to the people that wrote in my name. I love you, so don't think I don't. All right, if you wrote in my name, if you had the prowess to put your name on the internet in support of me, I just want to let you know that I support you.
yeah. Waverly, do you
yeah,
have any?
poor Ryan. He got the Instagram story white. He didn't even get part of the poll.
Yeah,
That was
that
yeah,
was a point
it's
of
okay.
contention in our group chat.
Whatever,
I will
pal.
hold true to it, man.
It's okay. We'll move on.
We move on from this. Waverly, congratulations on winning the uniforms, I guess. But yeah, going back to this, I think it's just something really cool, and we'll put it on Twitter and Instagram and let people debate about it in the comments because the All Saints guys are gonna go against the Liberty guys and in the comments, and it's gonna be very fun to watch. But D1, D2, the defensive line, and I think the front seven of and the offensive lines of D2 out are better than Division One, and to be honest, I think they're better dudes. I think they are gonna be in the trenches way better than D1. The skill positions of where you go. A combination of Pyle, Darby, Hawkins, Quentin Brown, Matthew McCain, Brady Janusik, even the Holy Central Catholic guy and Jeremy Birch. That's hard to beat. That's really, really hard to go against. DBs, I don't know how you don't a back DB room of DC Crane, Nick Blevins, David Madison, Cooper Winton, and Brady Janusik. I don't know how you stop that DB. That's disgusting. And then you have like guys like Enzo Bingham, Avin Houston, DeMarcus Baptiste, Guy Stern, those guys coming back, backing them up. That's disgusting. And yeah, I know we talked about the D line, but I think Jack Harwell, Landry Sattler, Obina Ume, and Maddox Sakiri are still a top a four defensive line that's disgusting as well. Like, and then they have the better running back room, right? You have Sawyer Anderson, Quinn Murphy, Chase Garnett, Will Estes, LJ Taylor, like the backfield is going to be better in D1, but you can't doubt Gavin Parkhurst and Claudio Torres, right? Like it's going to be a battle. And my question for all of you, and then we can I have two things I want to mention quickly before we wrap up. Who do you think wins that battle, hypothetical Division One versus Division Two?
It's hard for me, and again, as Greg Tepper said so many years ago, I get blinded by skill positions, but it's hard for me to discount how talented those D1 receivers are. But at the end of the day, the talent in the trenches in D2, whether that's defensive line with Knapp, Robinette, Bautista, and Ashford, or the offensive line with De La Cruz, Bothwell, Dalton Cook, Lee. I mean, I think, and especially with Claudio Torres running the ball, I think D2 has their way running the football. And that's hard for me to say with Jack Harwell roaming the
Yeah.
middle. But you know what? I'm gonna say D2. I'm gonna go crazy and say D2 wins this game by 3 points.
Waverly, what are you thinking?
I mean, I like what Wes is saying, but I think you just gotta go D1. They have so many guys, and I just don't know. Like y'all said, the skill positions, and then just especially at quarterback. Well, Gavin Parker's insane. I think that just whoever you have at D1 quarterback, whether it's first team, second team, third team, I think they win.
Wait, can my coaching tree be Novikov and Witten and I'm trying to think about who else I want. Oh my gosh, and Yantis and I'm if D1, oh my gosh, that's for a full lineup. Dude, no one's
Give
beating
me
us.
Coach Beck versus all of them.
Okay, I understand Coach Beck. Dude,
Honestly,
Coach Beck.
just
Oh
okay,
my
think about
gosh.
this too. Coach Black at Fort Ben coaching that offensive line.
Oh.
Oh man. That feeds generations right there. So
And the pregame speech from Coach Black too would just go insane.
this is true. So Ryan, on record, who are you having, D1 or D2?
I could sub different guys. So like
Yeah, sure.
I want Cooper Witten. So or not Cooper. I want to gosh, I said that wrong. I want Brady Janusik to play in the first with the rest. Well, he's not on the first team, but does that
Yeah,
matter?
no, if you want him on receiver, yeah, he can absolutely be receiver.
Okay, I'm throwing Janusik in there. He's gonna play every single position. But besides that, yeah, no. Oh my gosh. Sawyer Anderson to Brady Janusik.
Oh,
Just
that
throw
would
it
be
up. Just
nasty.
throw it up. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Claudio Torres would make a play. That's all I'm gonna say.
I go D2. I'm with you, Wes. I think
Oh
D2 is
my
the better
gosh.
pick. In the
Blasphemy.
trenches, the front seven, I think they're disgusting, and I'm going to go that way. So, one last thing, and I want to talk about it very quickly. Coaching hires today, and while we were recording, two just got hired. Firstly, the first one was Greyvon Faith was open for a couple weeks now, but they are just officially closed their guy. And Mike Fuller, I guess his most recent coaching was at Decatur in Fort Worth, North Fort Worth. Y'all do not know where that is, and that's fine. But actually, pretty close to me. But I don't know if he's been coaching or if he has been, like, if he's been coaching or was he out of coaching and then came back. I don't know. It seems like his most recent thing was 2021, 22. So very interesting to see how that kind of goes. Coached at, Colleyville Heritage, Coppell. It's going to be interesting, coach. This is going to be a parallel between the other ho coaching hire today of M Coach McGuire leaves for Southeastern Oklahoma at St. Thomas, and Raymond Davis, the defensive corner, steps into the role as head coach at St. Thomas. Big deal. Both of them were in, both came in 8 years ago and reset this program to be a powerhouse in Houston. Shout out to Coach McGuire. I think he's one of the greatest coaches I've been around. He's been a very welcome guy for us. Very good dude, and I wish him all the best. I think Raymond Davis is a absolutely amazing hire. He's a leader of men, firstly, and I think that's going to go a long way. He knows the school, he knows the program, he knows the culture, and I think he's going to be a great football coach. He knows how to win now, and that's a big deal. He knows how to win now in this climate, in this culture. Big hire, big time hire. But this is the thing, and I'll shout out the guy for putting this out the other day. And this is going to be the big talking point. But before we move on, the idea of hiring kind of retired or older coaches to come in versus young guys who are very good at their jobs, coordinators going up to a head coaching position. We don't see that much in TXPS, and I think that's kind of crazy because there's a lot of good coaches in TXPS because there's a lot of good guys. I think St. Thomas doing that with Coach Davis is a perfect thing for them. He knows how to do it. I don't know anything about this Greyvon Faith guy, so I'm not going to say, oh, he's awful or he's great. I'm not. That's lying. But what I'm thinking is interesting is they hired a guy from out of TXPS to join Greyvon Faith in a school where, being real, is a prominent figure after Coach Hogan. He was the dude. He led him to a championship, led him to a powerhouse in Grapevine. You need to know how to recruit that area. You need to know how to do an offense that is historically a awesome offense. They run the ball really well. They've always had dudes. They're going to continue to have dudes. You need a guy in there. Not saying he can't be, not saying he won't be, but you're getting a guy outside of TXPS to take over that program. Wes, I'll start with you. Kind of your thoughts on the guy's point, and like a lot of people hire outside of like former NFL guys or retired guys that are kind of older in Texas high school football coming in and not doing the coordinators.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to bring up that tweet verbatim, but my thought is the administrators at a lot of these schools, their job is to be risk averse. It's not to go out and like do crazy things that have high risk, high reward potential, because that opens them up to a lot of flack. They're going to take a lot of the safe moves with taking these older, established guys. While they're not the sexy picks, it's the people that have proven to win. Might not be the hungriest in that moment, but it seems like a safe pick. And I agree with the guy. I think more than anything, if you continue to do that, then none of these young coordinators and young talent get a shot. And then you're going to force a lot of these young, talented guys out of TXPS to go and try and cut their own path. In terms of the St. Thomas hire specifically, I love it. And that's mostly because I love Coach Davis. He's been a guy that anytime we see him at St. Thomas or at 7-on-7, super friendly to us. And you just watch the way that he coaches. He's incredibly passionate. To say that he cares is the understatement of all understatements. He's a fantastic leader of men. I really love this hire. I don't have a crystal ball that can tell you that he's going to win immediately and they're going to, be in a state hunt. I don't know. He's got the platform to do it, and he served under a guy that did it pretty dadgum well. I think they're in a great spot. I love this hire. More than anything, to sound off on the guy's tweet and what you said, I hope this sets a precedent moving forward that we can actually promote internally or go and get young talent and give them a chance to succeed and not just take the safe path, go get older guys at the end of their career, and maybe something happens. I like this a lot.
Ryan.
The one thing I'll say is, from a board perspective of a school, like, they like hearing the NFL pedigree. They like hearing the college pedigree. They like hearing the experience at the next level. Like when an AD presents that to a group of, call it whatever board members, I know at Legacy, when they would ever hear that for a sport, they definitely, the number one example is my soccer coach. When I was in high school, like, he had some experience, I guess, being a coach somewhere, and he was terrible for us. He was terrible. I mean, I'm gonna be so honest. It was the reason why I quit soccer, and I generally say that because I just don't think I always think that, like, next level, like, coaching always, like, is equal to, like, the talent of what you're gonna get out of a team,
True.
but there are a lot of coaches that do. It just depends on, you have to hire the right human, not the right resume.
Yeah,
Oh, I like that.
I'm moving to you, Waverly, because you have a different thing where Bryce Christian just hired the young guy and Coach Watch, and he's done it at, Brentwood before, but what he's done in 3 years, because he knows how to do it. Talk about kind of like the younger approach at a D4 school. Like, how was that seeing him come in and kind of take over that program?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely for D4, it's harder to hire those more experienced guys that are kind of older that y'all are talking about. But I mean, at least in Brazos Christian's case, it is 1,000% paid off. And I do think there is some element of just having not necessarily a like 20-something guy, but a guy who is a little bit younger, who just kind of like knows a little bit more about like what teenagers are like and like not only how to relate to them, but just like how to establish a culture that people will buy into. And I feel like that's something really big. And a lot of the guys, older guys, will hire, like y'all are saying, those younger guys who kind of do that for them. But I think it's really valuable having a head coach that's younger and can relate and build relationships like that, because I mean, that's how trust is built, that's how bonds are built and relationships are formed, which is so valuable. Especially, I mean, at my school, Division Four, Division Three, you have not that many guys total. And so you want to retain as many as possible. And I think that's another thing, is by building those relationships and having the ability to relate. Not to say older guys can't, but you retain so many more guys and have that really good culture and close-knit program.
Yeah, and I'll wrap it up with this. It's a very interesting thing because private school is a whole different ballgame, right? If you've ever been around transfers going into your school from public school, they come in and you're like, oh, you have chapel during class during your school day, or you have worship, or you have this, you know? It's a whole different ballgame. So for for coaches, it's the same thing. Like, oh, I can't have my kids because we're doing this religious thing at my school. Like, it's a whole different ballgame, and you have to be some, in my opinion, I'll say it, some of these old retired coaches, that must be a whole brand new game. And the ADs and the booster clubs and the boards are a whole different at private school versus public. And I think also a bigger thing is how many coaches are the ADs as well, because in private school, it's a lot more, it's small knit community vibes. So everyone's watching everything. So you need to have control over your program. And if you don't have ADs and all of that, they're backing you. It's a whole different ballgame. But I do think you got to be prepared for this. And I think having guys who've been through the program as coordinators know how a school, a private school works, is so crucial to understand the culture at a private school. Wes, were you
Yeah,
going
the
to say
last
something?
thing I'll say regarding this whole thing is, and again, this isn't a one size fits all. It's just a
No.
general sentiment I think might exist. With what I'm going to say specifically is that I think there are a decent amount of, especially when you go out and get these guys at the tail end of their public school careers, that kind of take this job. You're like, okay, this private school is my retirement job. Like I put in the work. I've really, really gone hard. Now this is the retirement job, and not that they're going to slack off, but they're not going to go as hard as this young guy you would bring in that's just going to work his tail off to get to the top. I think that's a point that should be looked at, and I don't want to completely reopen that whole thing. That's just kind of my closing thoughts on it. I've explained, yeah.
I think it comes down to the person, right? Because this is from personal experience. Coach Flowers was an old NFL guy. He was never in the private school ranks, came over and instilled a really good program and brought us to semifinals that we'd never been before. So it comes down to the person. But I think there's now just so many young guys in TXPS, young coordinators that are really, really good that schools just need to look at and look after. And looking for the other opening jobs, Covenant Christian is open. That's going to be an interesting one because usually a pretty good Division III school, and they've won multiple titles in the past 10 years. Always a good playoff contender. I wonder who takes that job. Secondly, Hyde Park. Phil Dawson is not the head coach anymore there. I don't know what happened. I thought it was heading the right direction. Wild. I thought he was a perfect choice for that coaching position. Interesting to see how that goes. If anyone from Hyde Park can let me know what happened there, I would love to know. But interesting thing, Hyde Park can be a team that truly competes in Division II and in Austin if you get the right guy in because they have pieces and they have dudes to win games. It's gonna be interesting to watch. Finally, I just want to say one last thing, and then we can end with this, Wes, and you can wrap us up. So there was a law just passed because of Diego Pavia, the Vanderbilt quarterback. What an interesting thing. And shout out our intern actually for talking about this on the TXPS basketball account, which is very funny. But basically, I forgot, I can't pull it up right now. Oh, there it is. Okay. Basically, he made it to where you can guys correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, your JUCO like years don't count to your eligibility at the next level. That's insane. That's so insane. So I don't even know where to go into that. And this is going to be something that we'll talk about more in the future. But basically, JUCO athletes who sign to play college sports can retain all 4 years of NCAA eligibility, even if they play a year or two in JUCO. Shout out to Diego Pavia for getting that sign for him to go do this. But truly, truly insane that this is happening. JUCO is a very, very interesting thing because it's a whole different ball game. There's a lot of dudes that deserve to be big time players. A lot of TXPS guys over the years have done that route and made it big. I know Wes, I would love to hear Quintero's thoughts on this. I think that would be the first person I would ask. How does that work and how does that change the landscape of high school, college football, and also high school football? Because if guys go to JUCO colleges and they're big time dudes, colleges are going to look at that a little bit more now instead of high school prospects. And that changes a whole lot more for high school recruiting. I would love to talk about this a little bit more, but I just wanted a little bit glimpse because it came out today. That's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely so. And we'll drill down into that most likely in a future episode. Yeah, I can't sit here and say it's good, bad, ugly because it's a mixture of all three, as a lot of things are. But we'll dig into that and give our brief thoughts on it in a future episode. But as this episode has already gone for what's probably been an hour and a half, an hour 40 minutes, and we said we were going to get out of here in 40 minutes, as things normally do, we had a lot to talk about. It was a very, very fun time. Waverly West, thank you again for joining us for the third consecutive week. Some great insight on TAPS Division 4 as well as 1 through 3 on this episode as well. Thank you. And yet again, congratulations, 2-time defending TAPS State Cheer Champion Brazos Christian Eagles. Gentlemen, as always, I have been 1/4 of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Walker Waverly and Ryan have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the next episode. See you later.